Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
You know how you have like the Highland games, the Scottish games, and they throw, what is it? Is it the big log toss that they do? What do they call it?
It's not gauntlet, is it? What is it called? Dang it.
I didn't want to spend as much, what is it called? Now I didn't want to spend as much time on it. Caber toss. Thank you. Caber toss. Florida Man has its own way of doing things. They got a gator toss.
What?
So Scott's got the caber toss. Florida Man has the gator toss. It's the Florida Man Games 2025. They're having tryouts. Sunshine State News says that Florida Man, it's like an Olympic Games for people who are Florida Man. It's the Florida Man Games. And it's going to be in St. Augustine in 2025. And they're having their tryouts. No joke. I mean, weaponized pool noodle, mud dueling, evading arrest, obstacle course, Category 5 hurricane wind, cash grab, beer belly Florida sumo wrestling, and more. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy that last week went the way it did. We live in a border state in Texas. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Listen coast to coast. Channel 347 DirecTV. If you're not listening terrestrially, we're on X, everywhere else. Because part of what last week is bringing in, well, we're going to have Border Thanos. I'm calling him that. I am calling him Border Thanos because he's a badass and there's just no other way to put it. It's Tom Homan, who is newly announced as the border czar for the Trump administration. He's a president and CEO of Border 911, former acting ICE director, retired federal agent, and the newly appointed border czar coming into the new Congress, the new term. And he joins us now via Skype. Tom, what do I call you as a proper border czar? I mean, we got to figure out the title for that, because Border Thanos, I don't think that they make a desk applique for that.
No, I think border czar is just perfectly fine. I think that says it all.
There you go, right there. Well, congratulations on your selection. And I know a lot of people, I think, are breathing a sigh of relief today, because I noticed when you were asked, well, what's going to change on day one of the border? You said it's going to be shock and awe that's going to change. You're going to go in and make some significant differences immediately. Can you give some insight into, like, what is the most dangerous thing to Americans that you see that could be done with immediately and effectively in the first week?
Well, look, President Trump's made it clear that we're going to get out the gate. We're going to target national security threats and public safety threats. We got criminal gangs in this country committing heinous acts of rape and murder. We got MS-13. We got Trinidad Guaya. We got a lot of criminal aliens. We got to round up, because this administration, the Biden administration, I was looking at the data the other day. You know, they tried to sell that they're going to concentrate on just criminal aliens, those convicted of crimes. But when you look at the data, the removal and deportation of criminal aliens has decreased 74% from the Trump administration. So we got a target-rich environment. So we're going to concentrate on public safety threats, because they pose the most danger to us. So we're going to go after them right out of the gate. Also, we're going to secure the border right out of the gate. So there's like three rails we're operating right now. There's going to be secure the border, run the deportation option by prioritization, and find and save over 300,000 children.
Wow. And that's the other big thing. I've never do this, but I'll give New York Times a little bit of credit, because they did write a very critical story about DHS and the border and the administration when they first reported that there were hundreds of thousands of kids missing, like actual legitimate kids that are brought over by coyotes, brought over illegally into the country, and then they go missing. And then you have Becerra. America's who's running this, saying, well, you know, we got to process these people faster. It has to be like the Ford assembly line. We got to process them faster. But then it came out that they weren't doing their due diligence and seeing even where anyone went. I mean, we have no idea. Hundreds of thousands of kids. No one's talking about it. You are. A few people are.
Yeah, you know, in Becerra, I saw him on stage one time talking about how quick they release these children. It's an all-time record. Because, look, this administration has been concerned about one thing. That's the optics, right? So if they process quicker and release quicker and there's no overcrowding, there's nothing to see here. And we learned that, because when Fox News had that 5,000 Haitians under the bridge, that was a bad day for this administration. So the instruction from then that day forward was process quick, release quick. If there's no overcrowding, there's nothing to see here. We keep claiming the border secure.
You had said that there are 10 times that terrorists coming into the United States are 10 times more likely to come through the northern border than the southern border. A lot of people haven't been paying attention to what's happening up between the Canada and U.S. border out there. Everyone, I mean, I know we put a lot of attention, rightfully so, at the southern border. Tell us exactly, like, some of the scary stuff that's happening up north.
Well, look, the problem with the northern border is they got very few resources up there to begin with. And I get that, right? You don't put most of the firemen where the big fire is. That's the southern border. However, what they did the northern border this administration, because you had historic illegal immigration, they took half of the very small population of border agents and detailed them to the southern border. When you do that, that even makes the northern border further weak. And the half that were left at the northern border, they were processing illegal aliens from the southern border virtually. So there's virtually a border patrol on the river, on the lakes, or on the patrol up north. So the north border, look, some of the sectors on the northern border, especially where I grew up in upstate New York, it's up 800%. So we got to pay attention to the northern border.
That is virtually processing them up at the northern border, which is unbelievable. We're talking with the new border czar, Tom Homan, who's also saying, you're telling these governors, look, you're not going to be a lot of these, people like J.B. Pritzker. J.B. Pritzker threw down and said, our citizens, our residents are staying here. Well, they're here illegally, so they don't have that protection. These governors, I mean, how are you going to counter these governors that are saying, no, this isn't going to happen? There's not going to be any removal of illegal immigrants here.
Well, first of all, it's amazing to me that these left-leaning people, they got the world upside down, because, you know, all of a sudden the people who enforce the law are the bad guys, and the people who break the law are the victims. I don't get it. Their world's upside down. But look, if they don't want to help, then get the hell out of the way, because we're coming. We're going to do this job. The President Trump has a mandate from the American people to get this done. So we got to get it done. And we're going to get it done with or without their help. So I'd love to have their help, but if they can't help us, then we're going to have to move forward on it.
One of the biggest things, too, we're talking with Tom Homan, the new borders are under President-elect Trump. One of the biggest things, too, you mentioned Trinidad-Aragua and all of these other gangs that are taking root in major cities. I mean, it's here. I'm in Dallas. It's here in Dallas. I mean, it's everywhere, far, far into the interior of the United States. That's going to be a real effort to combat that. And I know that there's been a lot of red tape that's been put by the Obama-Biden administration and by the Biden-Harris administration, preventing, you know, you and DHS and ICE from actually working with these local law enforcement to get detainers, have those detainers followed up on, report this, and then get these people removed. Is that going to be a lot to work through? How long do you think that something like that's going to take?
Well, thank God we got a strong president like President Trump. He's not going to take that garbage. And a lot of sheriffs, I've been contacted by hundreds of sheriffs that want to work with us. They want to fire up the 287G programs, have their sheriff's deputies help us, especially in the jails. So I think this Trump win is meaningful to law enforcement. And even in the sanctuary cities, the law enforcement wants to work with us. I'm in New York City all the time, and every police officer I've talked to hundreds, they want to work with ICE. It's the leadership, the city leadership. So I think President Trump's going to make a lot of headway with these agencies and the other ones. Look, we need to sue the sanctuary cities like President Trump did their first administration. However, when Joe Biden became president, he dropped that lawsuit that DOJ had against sanctuary cities. So we're going to refile that lawsuit. We're going to take these people to court. There's no downside. For any city official, a mayor, a governor, a chief of police, to not want public safety threats taken off their streets, that's what it is. Because we said we're going to prioritize public safety threats. What mayor or city councilman or governor does not want to take public safety threats off their streets? Their number one responsibility is the safety of their communities, and we want to help them do that. So again, they don't want to help us, we'll take them to court, but we're going to do what we're told to do.
Yeah, that's I know so many people are so happy to see this change. We're talking with Tom Homan, border czar. I know you're announced as a border czar. Were you asked to head up DHS out of curiosity? Because you were former ICE. And I honestly, out of the gate, I was like, oh, it's going to be Tom Homan over at DHS. I mean, I know you're going to go wherever you feel that you are best suited to serve and where you want to go. But I was just curious about that.
I'd rather not comment on that.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to ask. Well, I'm so glad that you're going to be somewhere on the border.
These personal appointments, I hate to get in that and with my conversation with the president, but I'm more where I think I should be. I'm a border guy. The secretary has a lot of responsibility. You got Secret Service you got to fix. You got FEMA you got to fix. I want to spend 100% of the time 24/7 on the border.
There you go. One last question for you. Border agents. I know that they've got so much that they have to handle, and I know we are in dire need of them. What's the plan to combat some of the fatigue, the demoralization, and maybe get some more on the ground there?
Yes, the morale is already sky high because of President Trump's reelection. A lot of more trades had a retirement paperwork put in. They pulled it back. Dana, I got called by hundreds. Texas calls through my LLC, hundreds of board affiliates who have retired that are begging to come back to help Trump. Hundreds of soldiers that have retired wanting to come help Trump. Law enforcement officers from all the country want to come help. I've got thousands of people willing to step up tomorrow and do the job.
There you go. Tom Homan, border czar. Things are about to change. You said shock and awe earlier, and I like that. There's going to be a lot of change at the border, and we are grateful for it. We can't wait until you get in there and start getting things done. Thank you, sir. We'll talk with you again soon. God bless you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Erica, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arn with a Constitution Minute.
The human soul is made to learn, and the highest things of life are the best things to learn. One of these, it turns out, is the way we govern ourselves, and one of the best examples of that is the Constitution of the United States. It explains what our government should look like and how it should function to best protect our rights. It was created to give us the freedom to make choices about the way we wish to live. Unfortunately, most colleges and universities today fail to teach our Constitution. When they do, they often denigrate it. This is dangerous because it is impossible to preserve our liberty if we don't understand where it comes from and how to protect it. Having a proper civics education is essential to preserving our freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
This Constitution Minute was furnished by Hillsdale College.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
It's Friday. Half of you are off or like already starting your eggnog. Let's be real. You guys want the holidays early. We missed the doot doot part of the Duran Duran song coming in for bumper, because you always have to karaoke. Harmonies are important here. The doot doots. That's a thing. All right. So let's move on to the meat and potatoes. I don't even know how to present this. So this is our Vegas Larry who sent this story, and okay, a Frontier passenger had hot tea and he spilled it and he's suing because he got third degree burns and disfiguring scars on his male copulatory organs, his frank and beans, if you will, after he spilled hot tea on his lap. He was flying home. He spilled the drink filled to the brim and it did a lot of things to his male copulatory organ region. He had to get an ambulance as soon as they touched down, and he had to go get treated for severe third-degree burns. He suffered a herniated disc while writhing in agony. That actually had to be pretty bad. He requested hot tea, but he said it was handed to him in a highly negligent fashion, filled to the brim, without any form of a lid, unsafely and unreasonably high temperature. Can I just say also that maybe there's an argument there? He only wants $150,000. Well, I think of his hospital bill and the ambulance ride and all that. But I will say, this is why you don't get hot drinks on planes then. I do not order a hot drink on a plane. You know why? Because stuff like this. And I don't even have male copulatory organs. I don't want to run the risk of it. You know what I mean? I don't want to run the risk. CNN's shocking low ratings are revealed. The staff is bracing for massive layoffs. Massive layoffs. They don't know what they're going to do. Their shows, they have been getting maybe 60,000 viewers in their demo on Tuesday between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. That is unbelievable. Oh, my gosh. I don't even know how a baby red panda, it died. It died because of stress caused by fireworks. They're little jittery things, apparently. A baby red panda had a seizure and choked on its own vomit 5 days after it lost its mother, according to an animal rights group. They said its name was Roxy, and it was stress caused by fireworks let off. And then the people are like, well, it was Guy Fawkes Night. It's in the UK. And they were like, well, maybe we need to look at fireworks, or maybe you need to do a better job of soothing your red panda. Is it a panda or is it like a fox? I don't know. Doot doots. There you go. Stick with us. The P15, it stands for 15 pews. And with Kel-Tec, it's great, a great 9mm. It's the lightest, thinnest double stack 9mm that is on the market. And with it, you're able to, great stopping power, but you're able to have ultra concealability with us. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate as a lady. You know, I have great concealability. It comes with two standard capacity magazines. One's a 15 round with minimal pinky extension. The other's a double stack mag that holds 12 rounds. Tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic, two dot rear, striker fire, lifetime warranty, and it's the lightest, thinnest double stack 9mm that is exists on the market. Metal and polymer version. It's compact, ideal for conceal carry self-defense. And it's from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. So see it for yourself. It's Kel-Tec's P15. Innovation, performance, and Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you. But RFK Jr., I will say one more last thing about that. And I just, as long as we can silo things off, because it's not my pick, as long as we can silo things off, then I think that, but there are some questions. Like, he's not a very pro-life dude. And I just want to make sure that abortion doesn't get included as an activist thing for him in Health and Human Services. Because remember, HHS is the largest department in the federal government. It is the biggest. And I think, so Phil Klein said that one out of every $4, and then this is over at usaspending.gov, one out of every, actually more than one out of every $4 in the budget goes to HHS. Because you have Obamacare, you have Medicaid, you have Medicare, all of that. And with the passage of Obamacare, you didn't just get government health care. You also had a significant amount of regulatory power that was reallocated to the Secretary of Health and Human Services. And that's how, when you talk about policy in terms of abortion on demand and all this stuff, all of that happens through HHS. RFK Jr. said, and this was NBC, and the date was May 9th, 2024. He was doing an interview with Sage Steele. And he was asked if there should be a limit for women to have an abortion or go all the way to full term. He said that he doesn't think anyone would want to do that at 8 months of pregnancy. But, quote, even if it's full term, he says, I think we have to leave it to the women rather than the state.
Even if it's full term.
So just that's a concern. That is a legitimate concern. And remember, he's coming, and it's great to have a coalition, but here's where the 20% of the 80-20 rule starts to be a stickler. What if he doesn't agree with you on abortion, and he also thinks that it should be treated as a healthcare issue, the way that the left says? What if there's money, and this is all plausible. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but you have to, it is reasonable and responsible to speculate with every nominee. Is that something that he is going to oppose or facilitate as head of HHS? He was someone who said he totally supported single payer healthcare. He said that you need to have a single program available to everybody. Well, that's government run healthcare. That's Obamacare. That's part of the problem with healthcare right now. Anybody who has had to go from their nice plan to the crappy Obamacare, you know, it's garbage. And it's expensive garbage, too, on top of it. So that's an issue. And he's going to be running HHS. So that's, I mean, Kane, I think it's reasonable, right, that I'm just raising these as potential.
Look, having concerns before, you know, doing a little future tripping, I get it. I just think on a federal level that the abortion thing is not, it doesn't exist anymore on a federal level.
Well, when states get federal grants, it can, yeah.
Yeah, like they of course, you know, I guess have to do what the state says. Do you have to do what the federal government says if you're receiving federal
money? Unless you're incentivizing it.
So
remember how the DOJ was incentivizing participation in maximum mandatory instead of minimum mandatory?
Yeah, and so
the exile program?
Yeah, and so although I agree with being cautious, I have no problem with that at all. I think that there is something here that is probably a little more valuable to the American people than the way the status quo has been going and the way things have been going.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, I am not saying that I oppose him as HHS right. secretary. I'm trying to find assurances that I don't want these departments weaponized because, well, or continued to be weaponized. What am I talking about? Right. They're already weaponized.
And yeah,
continued in the weaponization.
And I think that that is something that we've seen the left do and Big Pharma do. And I don't see this administration or the picks that he has made.
As long as he can come forward and tell me, look, yes, I agree. These are huge HHS issues that I am completely not even in the same universe on with MAGA, by the way, or the Republican Party platform, however you want to put it. As long as he can say my focus, I mean, if we're going to make it a singular thing with, you know, pharma and all of that, I just want that assurance. And I want him to give assurances that none of my outside of that, my views, which still trend super left on this, he needs to say my views, which, you know, are still left, are not going to be involved in the day to day or any part of the regulatory activities of these. And I think that's like a fair request.
Yeah, and it's easy for him to be able to do that. I just think that I don't think Trump has given him a rogue green light. I think that everything that he does through that agency has to be greenlit through Trump. And so that's why I have less of a concern, although it's understandable to have the concern.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see because it is an outside of the box thing. It will be interesting to see.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.